And again, for the sake of the recording, folks, welcome to the Carolina Bible Group Study Voice Room. And it is wonderful to have y'all with us this morning. On this, our Sunday morning out at Dad's here, meeting for Pal Talk. Today's study, as we continue to move forward in our study entitled God's Eternal Purpose, is study number 71. And the date for the recording is 5/28/17. For those of you keeping up with this. And our study purpose, as always, in this whole thing, and I can't really believe that we're already 71 studies deep in this, and I didn't think it would go this far, but evidently it has, and we're not even close to the end yet. And I still haven't decided for the next couple of weeks whether we're going to do all of Revelation 4 through 13 or not. Probably not. But in any event, our study purpose in all this, in looking at God's eternal purpose, was to form a list of coming events in Scripture with group participation so that we, as members of His body, can better understand God's eternal purpose and, most importantly, where we fit into it. Understanding where you are in God's purpose is probably one of the greatest things that you can accomplish for yourself in your lifetime. It gives your life meaning, it gives your life purpose, and it gives your life clarity. And I say clarity because understanding where you are in God's Word and understanding where you are in God's purpose is one of the greatest joys that I've experienced in my life. And the result of that was demonstrated yesterday as we were able with clarity to define to the people who stood around where Mom stood in her understanding of the Scripture and where she stood with her understanding with God and what her purpose was and what her hope will be. And that was important to us, and I believe it was important to her to be able to have that expressed at the time that it was expressed. And it was very well expressed by Tony at the funeral yesterday. I wrote it. Obviously, I couldn't read it. In my weakness, I wasn't able to hold it together, but Tony, thank God, was able to take and say that which needed to be said and that which upheld the memory of Mom and upheld what she stood for and what she believed concerning God's Word. And I wanted to say that before we got rolling along here too good, and how grateful I am to Tony for that. Oh, I have no doubt. I have no doubt of that at all. And that's the power of this group. When you look at it, as the way the world looks, we have to stand together. Amen. And the unification of the body, the joints and bands, amen, Tony, the joints and bands that we share as a group are astounding. And you know, I'm going to quit saying I'm amazed at it because I'm not. And to be a little crass about it, well, that's just how God rolls. That's how God does things. And God provides if we have that faith in Him. God will provide, and He will get you through the things that you think in life that He can't get you through. And the fact that I'm even able to sit here this morning and do this study as a testimony to that, that if it was me, I'd still be laying in the bed and licking my wounds. But it's just through Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to do these things and to keep moving forward. So today we'll be continuing with the Word of God, be continuing with our ongoing study of Appendix 198 in the back of the Companion Bible. That's on page 218. In the appendices, which I refer to so often, and it's entitled The Eternal Purpose. You've heard me say this over and over and over again, but I think repetition sometimes is the way to go. Repetition helps me, and hopefully it helps everybody that's under the hearing of my voice. If you do things over and over and look at Scripture over and over and over again, eventually, you know, even in Ronnie's thick head, some of it begins to sink in. And I can remember it and I can recall it. And that's where the comfort lies. So, though we've been saying it over and over again, we're going to continue looking at Appendix 198. And we stopped last week in this study of Appendix 198 with italicized section E, item E in the outline. If you look at that alternating outline, it works its way down to the center portion. And then it changes from what God has done up to what God is going to do in the future of his eternal purpose. The things that have not been fulfilled yet. And that's what italicized item E is in that outline, and it's called Mankind Dealt With as a Whole. In the culmination of God's dispensations of ages, when all these things culminate, when Christ is again full, and I believe the filling of the body of Christ with those, including those that are sitting around this table, I believe that event kicks off all the other events that must come to pass concerning God's prophecies for Israel, concerning God's prophecies dealing with the Gentiles and mankind as a whole, and concerning God's prophecies dealing even with the heavens, the beings that are still in the heavens, and the things that must be demonstrated even to them that bring all the fullness that God requires in his plan and purpose to a culmination. So today we're looking at item E, and it's the one entitled Mankind Dealt With as a Whole. Now this particular item recounts how God views and recompenses, and that means pays them back. Vengeance is his in a lot of cases, said the Lord. It covers or recounts how God views and recompenses the Gentiles with regard to his chosen nation, and how the other nations of the earth have dealt with his chosen nation, Israel, down through all these centuries. It goes over how God is going to deal with the rest of the nations based on how they have treated Christ and his people. And that's what this one's all about. Now, for our last study, we progressed in our review of item E by studying Matthew chapter 25, and last week we went through verses 31 through 46. All of these, I believe, and I agree with the CB in this regard, having regard to God's future dealings with mankind as a whole. And again, that's Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. I thought we went over them in fairly decent detail. For today, the next one that was listed, the next scripture reference that was listed in Appendix 198 regarding mankind being dealt with as a whole is Acts chapter 15. So turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 15 for our study today. Now, within Acts 15, there are two verses that are going to come to the forefront, and it's verse 16 and verse 17. But I don't want to go over just 16 and 17 without giving you the context of where we are. Now, it's a little fresh on my mind because on Wednesday nights with the group over at Mountain View, we've been going through Acts with them as well. And when I complete my study of the book of Acts there, then I'll be done. I'm going to, at that point, turn that back over to their pastor because he's voiced a few concerns about some of my beliefs concerning the Scripture and the King James Version. So I guess he is listening. And he has heard some things that he's not so crazy about. They haven't been so mean as to kick me out, and And for that I'm grateful. And for that I'm appreciative. But it has come to the point where I believe it's time to let him deal with his flock, I guess, so to say, as they see fit. So we'll do that up until that point. But in teaching the book of Acts, we just recently went through chapter 15. So you know the story. The ones from Judea came down. Let's read Acts 15:1. It says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said," they had a different version of what the apostles were teaching. "These Jews that came down from Judea, they taught, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you can't be saved." Well, what was it? They were reverting back to what? The law of Moses.
Right.
You can't just take this on faith, y'all. There's things you've got to do. You've got to be circumcised. Yada, yada, yada. You know the story.
Right.
You'll hear it today. It pervades even today.
Right.
You can't just be salvation by faith through grace as a free gift. You've got to do something to earn it. And that's how the story goes. So they said, "Except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." And it says in verse 2, "Therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension with them." I bet they did. I would have loved to. What would you give to have heard that dissension? That would have been a study to sit through, folks. "So when they had had no small dissension and disputation," that's an argument, "with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem," where? "To the pillars of the faith, unto the apostles and elders about this question." You've got to go to the council and let the council decide what the true story is. "And being brought on their way," verse 3, "by the assembly," not a brick building here, this is an assembly of people, this is an ecclesia in the Greek, "they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring or heralding the conversion of the Gentiles," or the ethnos, "and they caused great joy unto all the brethren."
Right.
"Most of the brethren, when they heard of the Gentile grafting in, said, praise God for what he's doing."
Right.
But now there were a few that said, nah, it's not going to be that easy.
Right.
You got to be circumcised after the law of Moses. "And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church," verse 4, "and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them." But, there's always a but. Going too smooth? In the scripture, you better look, because there's about to be a but. And here it is. "But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed." Now, these were Pharisees, but what? They accepted the message of Christ. They believed. These are not unbelieving Pharisees or just law-holding Pharisees. These are Pharisees which believed. "So they rose up, sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." So see, even though they knew and understood about the Lord Jesus Christ, as Dad would say, just couldn't get the gate off that wagon. They couldn't unload the wagon from the junk that they were dragging with them from before. They couldn't understand what God was doing in the dispensation and the dispensational shift of grafting these Gentiles in merely through Christ, without any law, without any of these things, without any of these ordinances, without any of these services, without any of that. They couldn't get it. It says, "And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter." That's how you do it, y'all. When you have a disputation concerning doctrine, you don't get mad and stomp off. You don't say, well, I'm never going to speak to them again about this. What'd they do? They gathered up.
Right.
And they said, let's study this out.
All the leaders.
Right? Exactly.
Now, this has been going on 14 years in Galatians. You read that. That's the 14 years of Galatians 2 now that this has happened during.
Yeah, it's been building to this point.
To this point.
Yeah. Amen, Pop. So they came together for to consider, not to fight or argue or fuss or throw rocks.
Yeah.
But they're going to consider these things. Consider of the matter. It says in verse 7, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren. Now remember, this is the Peter of Acts 10. This is the Peter that went to Cornelius and his family. This is the Peter that got the vision of the sheep with all the unclean things on it. That he said, I've never let any of that touch my lips, guy. And God said, Peter, what I say is clean is clean. Don't dispute me. So he said, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, Acts 10 is the good while ago, God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth, Peter opened the door to the Gentiles in Acts. No doubt. Paul took the message and ran with it, but it was Peter who opened the door because it had to be.
Right. That was one of the keys.
Exactly. God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And boy, they were. Read the previous chapters here if you don't think they were. Thousands. Thousands every time. The word was going out and it was doing its job. Thousands were coming to the knowledge of Christ and being grafted in. He said, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Go read Acts 10 and Acts 11 if you don't believe it. The Holy Ghost fell down upon Cornelius and his family, just like they did, Peter said, on us at the first, back in Acts 2. Peter said God signified it, God ratified it, and God sealed it by his Spirit.
Amen.
So it was a done deal. And that's what Peter's message is here, that this is real. It's happening whether we know it or not or want it or not. And he put no difference, verse 9, between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Us and them being the Jews and the Gentiles. He put no difference between us. Once they were grafted in to the hope of Israel, they were an Israelite and an heir according to Abraham's promise. Read Galatians. Peter says in verse 10, now, therefore why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Why do you want to saddle those poor Gentiles with a law that they don't need, that neither us or our forefathers were able to keep?
And they didn't know them.
Exactly. Why would you want to do that, Peter said. So there's Peter's side of the argument. We know where he stands in the whole thing. He says in verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Even as they. It's grace, Peter says, that covers them just like it does us.
Right.
Them and us together in grace. Even in the previous dispensation.
Yes.
Not the same grace that we have in the church dispensation.
Uh-huh.
But a same measure. God's grace to them was release of certain things. God's grace to us was release of even more things.
Right.
To the fact that there were no ordinances or things to keep. He makes that clear in Colossians.
Well, in grace, God gives you something that you don't deserve. These people didn't deserve what God was giving them.
Amen.
But in our dispensation, we get something even greater that we don't deserve.
Exactly.
Much greater.
That's exactly what I meant to say. I appreciate that, Pop. That's what grace is, and that's how God works. So he says in verse 12, then all the multitude kept silent. I bet they did.
Yeah.
How could you say anything after what Peter just said?
Right.
So they kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, and Barnabas and Paul were declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. How would you have loved to sat?
Yeah.
What would you have given to heard that dispensation? I mean, that dissertation. That would have been something.
Oh, yeah.
And after they had held their peace, after they had said all they needed to say in verse 13, James, who is the undisputed leader, along with Peter. It was Peter, James, and John, right? One of the three. After they had held their peace, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, listen to me." He's about to give a conclusion. "Men and brethren, hearken unto me." Verse 14. "Simeon," or Simon, or Peter. This is Peter here. "Peter hath declared." Because what? Peter just spoke. And he says, remember what Peter just said. "Peter hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name."
Yeah.
You ever thought about that?
Gentiles.
Yeah.
That's a whole new
He's taken out of the Gentiles and grafting into Israel a people for his name. Why? Because some of the branches were broken off. And there was a void. And what does God do with voids? He pleromas them. He fills them to the fullest. And that's part of what God was doing with these Gentiles. That he did visit the Gentiles, verse 14, to take out of them, out from them, a people for his name. And to this, now listen to this, here's where it gets interesting. And to this, the fact that he's taking them out from among the Gentiles and grafting them in, to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written. And then he quotes the verses that I wanted to look at today, verses 16 and 17, which are a quote from Amos chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. Yep. Verses, now let's read them. He said, "To this agree the Old Testament scriptures." So, what we're going to read in Amos has something to do with these grafted in Gentiles, evidently. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
I think the stage has been properly set now so that we can understand what's going on with the word here in the quoting of the prophecy. Now, this is nothing new in Acts. Remember, Peter back in Acts 3 said, "This is that." Why do you think these men are drunk, since it's only 9 o'clock in the morning? "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." And then he quotes several verses from the book of Joel. Yeah. And that gives validity. Yeah. And he says, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Same thing here. James says, this is it, as it is written, and it says this in 16 and 17. 17 is the main verse, but you have to take them together. He says, "After this," well, you got to know what this is. "After this, I will return," or "I will build again, and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up." I'll put it all back. It will be restored. Now, this is for who? This is the Israel part of the quote from Amos.
Right. Yeah. Israel.
This has to do with Israel.
Right.
There was no temple of God for the Gentiles. There were temples of gods for the Gentiles. But there was no temple of God for the Gentiles. Why? Because God's chosen people had the true temple of the true and living God. Amen. So he says, "After this, I'm going to come back. I'll return. Or I'll build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down." Remember? Not one stone will remain upon another.
Right.
"And I will build again the ruins thereof. And I will set it up," he says. And then here's the Gentile part. "That the residue of men might seek after the Lord. And all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things." Now, if that verse seems a little confusing, It's because there are some translation issues with it. So let's take a little bit of a, I know I'm running out of time, but let's take a little bit of a look here at this and break it down. But before we do that, turn with me, if you would, over to Amos chapter 9. If you can find Amos, it's one of those small,
Page 1243.
1243 in your companion Bible. Amos chapter 9. I guess he's right before Obadiah. Amos chapter 9. Now what I want to do in Amos chapter 9 is I want to read verses 8 through 15. Because that covers the context of what James is talking about here in Acts 15. Let's connect all the dots and make sure that we've got it all straight in our minds. Amos chapter 9 verse 8 says, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom." What do you think the sinful kingdom is? "And I will destroy it from off the face of the earth." Pretty strong words. "Saving that I will not," what? "Utterly destroy" who? "The house of Jacob, saith the Lord." So there's going to be some destroying. Well, now, if you think back to the previous few studies we've been doing, what have you been seeing happening? You've been seeing God separate the sheep and the goats, right? Remember that? The sheep and the goats. What happens to the goats? Anybody remember? They're gone. To sum it up, they're gone. No goats. But what? "I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob." So of all the other nations, the goats, they're gone. "For lo," he says in verse 9, "I will command and I will sift." There's your sorting.
Sift and sort.
Sift and sort is what happens when God returns. "And I will sift the house of Israel among" who?
"All the nations."
I'll sift them among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve.
Yeah.
I know some of the older ones around the table have probably done this. I used to watch Mama do the cornmeal, sift it through the sifter. It would get out the big parts. You didn't want to break, because a lot of times when corn's ground, some of the bigger parts get through. It's the way it works. You don't want to get the bigger parts because it hurt your teeth.
Yes.
"But I'm going to sift them like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth." I'm not going to lose any that don't need to be lost, he says.
Yes. Right.
"Not even the smallest. Mm-hmm. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword." We've already read this. This should not hit you in the face as a surprise. Yep. "All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us." And then 11 and 12. And here are the verses that are quoted over by James in Acts chapter 15, verses 16 and 17. "In that day," he says, "will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close up the breaches thereof." Here's more detail to it. "And I will raise up his ruins and I will build it as in the days of old." It's going to be restored. "That they may possess the remnant of Edom." Now it says Edom here. But now we're going to look at the note over on the other side, back over in Acts. So hold that thought. "That they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen, and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this." That Israel may possess all these that doeth what? That hold up his name. So now you see the seed verses, and I love to do this because you need to. If you see a verse quoted in the New Testament by anybody, and you know where it's coming from, you need to go look at it in the Old Testament to see what was said. And studying out both will give you, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. Yeah, you'll get it all. So there you go. Now, when you look at verse 17, we're back in Acts chapter 15, verse 17 of Acts. It says that the residue of men, and that word residue there means it is the faithful remnant. That a faith, and that's what we're talking about here. Remember the grafted in Gentiles? It makes perfect sense. Those that are grafted in because of what? Because they kept the law? No, they're grafted in because of their faith in Christ. That the residue, the faithful remnant of the men, the anthropos. Now, this men corresponds to Edom that we looked at back over in the New Testament. Now, look at the note on men there. It says, look at Appendix 123, Part 1, for the meaning of anthropos. It literally means like an upright man, a human being. The Hebrew would be the word Adam, while the authorized version text of Amos 9, verse 12, is Edom, E-D-O-M. It's the Hebrew E-D-O-M. Adam, see, Adam and Edom, very close. It said, but the consonants are the same, and the only difference is in the pointing. One of the Hebrew marks on the word was the pointing. So it says that the word Adam, not Edom, is right, can hardly be questioned, or James would not have used it. So back, what he's saying is, back in the verse in Amos, that it should be all in Adam, not all in Edom. And that there's probably a problem with the reading of the one little Hebrew mark that made the difference of whether it was Adam or Edom, because they were spelled exactly the same way. It's like a accent mark in one place made all the difference. And that's exactly like a jot or a tittle. And that's exactly what Bullinger is pointing out here, which to me is the treasure of the Companion Bible. Those type of little notes, the jots and tittles and these type of things, to me make all the difference. So now it says it's Adam or James was wrong. And I totally agree.
Well, you know, God kept telling Ezekiel, son of man, son of Adam, it was the same word, son of Edom.
Yeah.
And he said it 100 times in Ezekiel. 100 times. God, when he started talking to him as a prophet, going back to Babylon and talking to those guys that were in bondage over there, he said, son of man. He wanted him to remember every time that he was a son of the fallen one.
Exactly. He put him in his place.
Adam and Edom is represented both ways. That's how you get it.
Right. The Edomites were part of Adam's race.
Yeah.
But that's not all of Adam, you eat them. So the point that the Companion Bible is making is that James is correct in having the word anthropos here, because it's all of man. Not, now, do you think James might be acting under the Holy Spirit here?
Yes.
I would say probably so.
Probably,
so I think we're safe to move on and say, yeah, it's more Adam than Edom here, as a small point. That the residue of Adam's race or of men might seek after the Lord, and all the nations. You see that note on all the Gentiles, all the nations there. And incidentally, if you look at the note in the Companion Bible on all the Gentiles there where it says all the nations, it says see notes on Isaiah 64:19. There is no Isaiah 64:19. There's an Isaiah 64:12. And that's it. So I don't know. I looked and looked and looked for what the Companion Bible, it's just a typo. I looked and looked and looked for what it might have been referring to, but I couldn't find it. So in case you ever run across that like I did, don't be surprised if you see, well, there is no Isaiah 64:19. because there's not. Anyway, moving on.
But there is an Amos 9:12.
There is an Amos 9:12, yes. So that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the nations upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth these things. Now, when you look at the term who doeth these things there, it says in the note in the CB, most of the text read, who maketh these things known from the beginning of the world. It says that that's what that should say, and omit the part in verse 18 that says, unto God are all his works. It says, see the revised version and the margins. Well, I guess my buddy at the church that is so confident in the King James Version being perfect would not be happy to know that on top of the Authorized Version, there is a revised version of the Authorized Version. So there you go. The Revised Version caught this error and corrected it, evidently.
Yes.
So you got to take verse 18 into account, and I've taken the liberty, and we're almost done here. I've taken the liberty of going and straightening this verse out a little bit in the translation for us. So let me read it here, and we'll be done. The note, I believe, should read where it says, who doeth there. The whole verse of 17 should read, that the faithful remnant of men might earnestly seek the Lord, and all the nations upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who maketh these things known from the beginning of the world. The Lord is the one who makes these things known, as the note says, from the beginning of the world. That the faithful remnant of men might earnestly seek the Lord and all the nations upon whom my name is called. This has been revealed, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be called among the Gentiles.
Yes.
Was revealed from the beginning. This is literally since the foundation here. This is not a pre-catabole truth. This is a post-catabole truth. That these Gentiles would be numbered among God's number. And to that, James says, men, this is being fulfilled in your very face. This is how God is going to deal with the nations.
Yes.
Yep. God did it. James said it. And I believe it. And I don't know how else to put it. So hopefully that, we'll stop there today at verse 17. Hopefully that made a little sense and helped straighten out some of the translation errors and some of the other misconceptions, I think, that may go along with that verse. You certainly don't have to totally agree with everything that I said. There's a lot there to study, trust me. And I just scratched the very top surface. I didn't get into the depths of the book of Amos or any of the other details that could go along with that at all. But hopefully you were able to glean a little bit from that and in doing so be blessed. So bow with me if you would, and we'll close, and then we'll unlock the microphone. We'll take any questions or comments, agreements, disagreements, whatever you may have. So bow with me. Father, once again, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for those that are gathered here, both in our homes and online. Father, we have felt the touch of the Holy Spirit in our lives this week. We felt the power that we glean from your Spirit. We have felt the joints and bands of all those that have prayed. We have felt the strength of those joints and bands, even as we brought the study this morning. And God, we're so thankful. I don't know how to put it other than thankful and blessed.
Amen.
As how blessed that we are to have this truth and to have this fellowship. God, thank you for your word and for the truth and the power of it. Thank you for those that have joined us here, however they did it. Thank you for your word and for the power that we see in it and that we glean from it. For it's in Christ's name today that we do so humbly pray. Amen.